Psalm number 1. And in the verse number 4, we have a very, very vivid harvest picture. And we want to just leave this with you tonight, verse number 4. After the first three verses, speaking of the godly man, there's then this great contrast. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. I'm sure tonight that if I was to ask each of you in the meeting, that whilst you may not be familiar with all of the details of his life, I'm sure many of you will have at least heard the name of Luciano Pavarotti. He was born in 1935, and he passed away in the year 2007. He was one of the most successful commercial tenors of his era. Pavarotti, he spoke of an incident in his life when he was a young boy, and he said this. He said, "When I was a boy, my father, who was a baker, he introduced me to the wonders of song. He urged me to work very hard to develop my voice. He then sent me to a professional tenor by the name of Arrigo Pola in my hometown in Italy, and he took me as a pupil. However, in his teenage years, he then spoke of going on to study in teacher's college. On graduation, his father, who of course was a baker but had pushed him to get involved in song, his father came to him and said to him these words. He asked him, Luciano, shall you be a teacher or a singer? He didn't really know at that time. He sort of hemmed and hawed. He, of course, loved to sing, but he also loved to teach. And his father then went on to say, Luciano, if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. In life, you must choose one chair to sit on. And here in Psalm number 1, we are presented with two chairs, if you like, two ways, two paths of life presented before you. For here we have two entirely different types of individual presented. Verse 1 through to verse 3, we read there of the man who is called the blessed man. And of course, the blessed man, he knows the blessing and the prosperity of the Lord upon his life. He is someone who loves the Lord. He is someone who shuns evil company. He is someone who delights in the law of the Lord. He is someone who genuinely walks with God. And let us remember, folks, that the word blessed, it means happy very often in the Hebrew text of the Old Testament. So here is the genuinely happy man presented before you in his opening three verses. You ask the question tonight, what does a genuinely happy man look like in life? Well, he is this man of the first three verses in this psalm. And after then, painting the picture of the genuinely blessed man, the man who is godly, the man who has his roots deep rooted in Jesus Christ. Then in verse 4 through to verse 6, there is a direct and a stark contrast. For here is a man who is set forth as a completely different kettle of fish. Here is someone who is a completely different individual. If you look at verse 4, we simply read there, the ungodly are not so. Now in the Hebrew, this could be understood this way, literally speaking, not so the ungodly, not so. In the Hebrew, there is a double negative. It's as if the Spirit of God wants to zoom in on this very thought, wants to underline, wants to emphasize that the ungodly individual, he is completely different. Not so the ungodly, not so. Now, this word ungodly, it's very, very interesting. In Psalm 109 and verse 7, whilst it speaks of someone who is not saved, it also is translated there as someone who is condemned or guilty. And so here we find then, here is this great contrast, the opening three verses, the blessed man, the happy man, the man who knows the prosperity of heaven, divinely stamped upon his life. And then in verses 4 and 5, not so the ungodly, not so. Here is the guilty man. Here is the condemned man. And he is described here as an individual, and we read there, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And whilst the righteous in the verse 3 is described like a sturdy tree, rooted and firm and fruitful, the happy man, he is a fruitful man. Yet the wicked man in verse 4 and verse 5, the guilty man, the condemned man, he is described like the chaff. The chaff which is the useless part of the wheat. Something which is rootless. Something which is weightless. Something which really has no value for the farmer. You see, in life, death, and eternity, there is not merely one path. There are two paths. There are two roads on which to travel on. And there is the righteous path. We could put it like that. The fruitful life. The godly life, the quiet life. Then there is the unrighteous man, the ungodly man, and he is just like the chaff. There is no substance to his life. But the question is then, as we could put it to you like this, which chair are you sitting on? Because as Pavarotti's father said, you cannot sit in between two chairs. You must sit on one chair or you must sit on the other chair. And so which path in life are you on? Can you say honestly, genuinely, from the very bottom and the very depths of your heart, that you are on the path of the godly man? That you are rooted in Jesus Christ? That your life has genuine substance? Or tonight perhaps, still find you on the path of the ungodly man? Not so the ungodly, not so. You're condemned. You're guilty. And your life has no real substance, no real meaning, no real, as it were, root to it. Rather, there is, it is light, it is of little value and no substance. I wonder tonight, which path are you on? Scripture is full of this great divide or great division. It's full of references of this thought. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, you read down through that chapter, and you will discover there are many, many inferences or instances which suggest that there is this great divide. For example, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, we read, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way." Here, the Lord Jesus, he says there's two ways. Two ways. There is the broad way which leadeth to destruction, or there is the narrow way, and few there be that find it. Again in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, it speaks of two men, and they're building their house on two different types of foundation. One is building his life on that which is hard, that which is solid, that which is immovable. He's building his life on the rock. But then the other man, he is building his life upon the sand. Again in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20, the Lord Jesus, he states there are two individuals and they bring forth two different types of fruit in their life. Good fruit and also corrupt or evil fruit. You see, while sociologically there are many types of people, spiritually speaking, there are really only two. The righteous or the unrighteous. The ungodly or the godly. And here we have this great contrast. Here we have this great divide. And again, we pose the question to you tonight, on which chair are you sitting on? Are you sitting on the side of the godly or the side of the ungodly? And so there is this great comparison. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. And we want tonight to take up this picture, and we want to think of the theme, the ungodly as the chaff. The ungodly as the chaff. I want you to think firstly with me about their differentiation. Their differentiation. Verse 4, we read, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. As we've already intimated to you, in the Hebrew, these words, they are stronger. They could literally be read like this: not so the ungodly, not so. And so, with the emphasis there being on the not so, it seems that the ungodly, they are not like something. They do not look like something. Their life, it is completely different. So immediately the question springs to mind, I trust. What are they not like? Not so the ungodly, not so. Well, what is different about them? What are they not like? Well, of course, that takes us back to verse 3. So what are they not so? Well, verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in a season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We're told here the ungodly, they are not so in the sense they are not like a tree planted by rivers of water. Here's a picture of a tree, and it has been purposefully planted near to a river. Of course, you know most rivers at certain times, they tend to swell and burst their banks. And it was probably so that this tree, the psalmist here, he was thinking about the rivers of Jordan. There are many references to the swelling of the rivers of Jordan. Jeremiah 12 verse 5 springs to mind. How will ye do in the swelling of Jordan? And so here the thought is of it being close by a river. And this river, it's bursting its banks. So whenever it bursts its banks, there's too much water there. Well, what does it do? Well, it makes the ground beside that river, it makes it extremely fruitful. And here, the godly man is depicted as a tree planted by rivers of water, close to a source of water. But the ungodly are not like that. They are completely different. They are, as we could perhaps put it like this, they are away from the special care or the special provision of an individual. Not so the ungodly, not so. What else are they not like? Well, verse 3, they do not bring forth fruit. Whilst the godly man is set forth as somebody who brings forth fruit, who lives a godly life. It's very obvious, very evident that in his life that there is fruitfulness there, coming of course from the Spirit of God living within his life. But the ungodly, not so the ungodly. If the godly man is fruitful, then the ungodly man, he is fruitless. We could also inverse the rest of the verse like this. In speaking of the ungodly man, his leaf shall wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall not prosper. His leaf shall wither, and whatever he does shall not prosper. So here the picture is of the Lord, and he's taking that special care to ensure that the godly man, whatever he does in life, it'll prosper. But the ungodly man then, conversely, we could put it like this: whatever he does, it shall not prosper. The things he tries to do, they will not come to fruition. So here what the psalmist is really saying is this: that the godly man, as God's peculiar, special covenant person, he knows the prosperity, the provision of God in a way in which the ungodly man does not. You see, between the ungodly and the godly, whilst there are comparisons, there are also contrasts. They are the same, only different. In a general way, the godly and the ungodly, well, they're the same, aren't they? The Bible explicitly states that the Lord sends the rain on the just, the justified, and the unjust, those who are not justified. And temporally speaking, the Lord, he sends his common goodnesses to all of mankind. He sends calamity to the just and the unjust. He sends difficulty to the just and the unjust. But we could also say this: that there is special and peculiar blessing reserved solely and exclusively for his people. And tonight, if you're outside of Jesus Christ, and you're outside the bounds of the covenant of the Lord, the covenant people of the Lord, then there is a sense in which you are completely different. We could differentiate between you and the godly man. The godly man, his leaf, it shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And you see this played out for you day after day. You look at a man who fears God. You look at a man and he conducts himself in a way that is befitting of the gospel. And you see the blessing of the Lord upon his life. You look at a woman, perhaps even a mother. You see her go out, you see her come in, and you see the blessing of God upon her, upon perhaps some family. And then you look at the unsaved, the ungodly, and there is a sense in which there is that difference between them. Why? Because whilst the covenant person of God knows his provision and knows his care and knows his protection, the ungodly cannot say that. Maybe perhaps tonight, sinner, that's why you've been trying scheme after scheme after scheme after scheme. And it comes to naught. You try to do this, you try to fidget at that, you try to footer at the other thing, and it all just seems to come crashing down upon you. Why is this? Well, I want to suggest to you, it is because of this very reason. The ungodly are not so. Not so, the ungodly, not so. They do not know the special care and provision and providences that the people of God know. The Bible is full of the Lord making a difference between those that love him and those who do not. Psalm 145, we read verse 20. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. The Lord preserves them that love him, but he destroys the wicked. He destroys the wicked. Again, Nehemiah 1 verse 5. Here's Nehemiah. He sees the great torment the people of God are in, and he bursts forth into prayer, and he pleads this very thought before the God of heaven. Verse 5 of Nehemiah 1, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy. Who does he keep covenant and mercy to? For them that love him and observe his commandments. Of course, the inverse of that is this. He does not keep covenant. He is not merciful to those who do not love him and those who do not observe his commandments. Again, one final verse to emphasize this, and it's a verse all of the people of God here should know well. Romans 8 verse 28, and it's often quoted in times of trial. We know that all things work together for good. For who? For everyone generally? No, to them that love God. Whilst the godly know the favor of Christ, the ungodly know the frown of Christ. It is his sentence, not his smile, that they experience. And what a frightful thing. What a frightful thing to have the frown of Christ on your life this evening. Not the favor of Christ. So here's the ungodly. He is completely different. A completely different person to the godly person. Their differentiation. I want you to see, secondly, with me, their dereliction. Thinking about the ungodly as the chaff, verse 4 we read, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly, they are described here as chaff. They are set in direct contrast to the righteous or the godly man. Verse 3, we've already seen it, but that's just to emphasize it to you. The godly man, he is full of substance, he is full of fruit, he is full of prosperity. And the man who is ungodly, he is depicted as something completely the exact opposite. The chaff here, well, it then takes you to the Israelite process of winnowing during harvest time. What would happen would be this. The wheat, it would be gathered in, and of course, there was old weeds, or as it was called here, an old chaff, and it was attached to the wheat. An individual would go to the winnowing floor. You have a reference to this in the book of Ruth in the chapter 3. There's Boaz, he's out there, he's in the winnowing floor. And what do you do in the winnowing floor? Well, the old Israelite person, what he would do was this. He would take an old pitchfork, and he would bow down, he would get the wheat, and he would toss it up in the air. What would happen? Well, the old chaff that was wound up and bound up with the wheat, because there was no substance with it, the wind would just drive it away. And then the head of wheat, it would fall to the ground. So, the chaff was something that was useless, something that was easily blown away. The ungodly, he is like the chaff which the wind driveth away. There was no sap, there was no fruit, it was of no real benefit to the owner. And this is how the ungodly is set forth. Someone as unsubstantial, someone as lightweight, someone as derelict, someone as barren, described like that in comparison to the godly. And rather than being spiritually fruitful, the unregenerate is spiritually unsubstantial. You have no spiritual substance. You think tonight of the fruitfulness of the believer. There you read of the book of Galatians, of the fruit of the Spirit. And underline that I said fruit and not fruits. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes individuals come to you and they say, well, I have this fruit and I have that fruit, but I don't have the other. And usually they're trying to excuse something, trying to excuse maybe a quick temper, or trying to excuse the fact that they're not meek or not gentle. But it is the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God dwells in the life and the heart of a believer, he knows peace. He knows joy. He knows temperance. He knows contentment. He knows love. He knows meekness. We could say something like this about the Christian. There's something wholesome and fruitful about the Christian. You look at a man or a woman or someone who's going through a terrible trial in their life, and yet there's peace there. There's joy there. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what Paul said in the midst of his trials. And there's something that is magnetic about that person's life. Something, as we have said, of substance. Something weighty, just like the wheat. But then the ungodly person, well, you are completely different. Trials come. Maybe there's somebody and they give you a difficult time, or maybe there's some tragedy that comes in your life, and you're just like chaff. There's no real substance there. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not living and reigning and abiding in your life, giving you the fruit of the Spirit. Because Jude speaks to us there, and he states there, having not the Spirit. And he speaks of the unsaved person as someone who does not have the Spirit of God. And tonight that's you. If you're unsaved, you do not have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, through the psalmist David here, he describes you like this. The ungodly, not so the ungodly. They are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Of course, the book of Ecclesiastes, it's all about the vanity of life without God. Chapter 1 speaks of the vanity of seeking after aimless knowledge, just reading and reading and filling the mind for the sake of it. And then in chapter 2, it speaks of the vanity of the pleasures of life. Chapter 2, verse 1, Solomon speaking from experience, he said, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. You know, when you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, you constantly find this word vanity. Do you know what it means? It means a breath. That's what it means in the Hebrew, just a breath. No substance to it. No value to it. And here's Solomon, and he says, I've given myself to pleasure, and it was just a breath. It was completely lifeless. Completely aimless. Life without Christ, whilst it is hard, it is also hollow. A shallow and a futile experience. I wonder tonight, is that the life that you're living? Not so the ungodly, not so you're just like the chaff. And there is no substance to your life. You do not know the joy of sins forgiven. You do not know the joy of peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight you're just like chaff. Boris Becker, tennis superstar, well known, I'm sure, to those of you who watch Wimbledon or follow tennis. Well, he was extremely suicidal in his career. He said this, he said, I had won Wimbledon twice. Once as the youngest player, I was rich. I had all the material possessions I needed. But it was the old song of movie stars and pop stars who commit suicide. They have everything and yet they are so unhappy. I had no inner peace. I was a puppet on a string. Imagine that. Boris Becker, over the TV today. Yet he said, I was a puppet on a string. That's what a life without God, it looks like. A shallow, a breath of an existence. And here's the Spirit of God through the instrumentality of the psalmist David. And he says, the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. There's a difference there, but there's also a dereliction there. There is a barrenness there in comparison to the godly person. Their differentiation, their dereliction. I want you to see thirdly with me their division. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Whenever the chaff or the wheat or attached to the wheat is growing up, well, it grows up in the same field, doesn't it? You even know if you're not in the farming business and you have a garden of some kind, well, you plant flowers in your garden, and of course there's also weeds. Well, it's the same in farming. The chaff, it was always close to the wheat. And eventually when the wheat was harvested, sometimes it was harvested with, the chaff was harvested with the wheat, and it was stored and wrapped up in the barn together. But as I said, there comes that time when the wheat must be threshed, when there must be that division, that separation between it and the chaff. And the individual, he takes the pitchfork, he takes it out to the threshing floor. And yes, there is a time when it grows up together and it is raised together in the same field. But there is the time of separation. There is that time when the wheat and the chaff, that the chaff is driven away by the wind and the wheat, it falls to the ground. And whilst the saved and the unsaved develop together in life, they are eventually divided in death. They are separated, one from the other. And oh, like the chaff and the wheat. Again, I am reminded tonight that in this congregation, spiritually speaking, there are individuals. Maybe you grow up together. And you grow up. Perhaps even now you're sitting beside, as we could call it, a wheat. But you know fine well you're a chaff. You know fine well that there is no substance to your life. You know fine well that the Spirit of God, He's describing you and He's painted a very vivid picture of your life. And yes, you've been sustained by the same God and you've had your needs met by the same God. But remember this. There is that great time of sifting. There is that great time of separation when you will be separated from the saved and the wind, it will carry you away of God's divine justice. The Scripture again reminds us in many, many different places that there is this great division between the righteous and the wicked, or the godly and the ungodly. Malachi 3 verse 18. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth not God. And here's Malachi, and he's looking forward in the prophetic calendar, and he's saying there are individuals, and they will serve God. What is that? That's the godly person. That's the fruitful person. They will serve God. But then there are other individuals, and they will serve not the Lord. The Lord will discern between the wicked and the righteous. Again, speaking of this, Christ told the familiar parable of the wheat and tares. They spoke of them as growing up together in the same field. But then harvest time came. And we read in Matthew 13 verse 30, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my harvest. And here again we see this great separation. What happened? The chaff, eventually they were separated and they were bundled together, and the wheat as well, it was separated and it was bundled and placed in the barn. Whilst you may be united in many things, you will always be separated in one thing, whether you are righteous or unrighteous. Tonight, remember this. There is a great separation line, a great boundary, a great demarcation, and one day there will be a great separation between the saved, the unsaved, the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the chares, the tare, the wheat and the chaff. And on which side of the fence will you be on? You cannot sit on the fence. No, this is a fence that must be decided. On which side are you on? On which chair are you sitting this evening? Can you say you're like the chaff? Can you say that you are the ungodly person? And come that great day of separation, you'll be bundled together. And Matthew 13, verse 30 makes it clear, harvest is the end of the world. There will be that great day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return, and there will be that separation of those individuals, body and soul, who are saved, and body and soul who are not saved, and the body and soul of those who are saved will go to reign with Christ in the new heavens and the new earth. And then there will be the second death for the chaff. The second death, when body and soul will fall into the bottomless pit, which is called the lake of fire. My friend, again, I ask you the question, on what side of the dividing line are you this evening? Are you those, can it be said of you, I'm those in verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 1? Or sadly, are you still like the individual, verses 4 through 6? Ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff. One last thought, and it is this, their destruction. Their destruction, verses 4 and 5, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I've already alluded to it to you tonight, but there is that time when, whilst the winnowing process goes on and the wheat it's taken up into the air and then it falls to the ground, there will always be a remnant of chaff with that wheat. But eventually the individual comes, and it comes the time of bundling. And there's a reference to it there in Matthew chapter 13. And the individual, he comes, the farmer, whoever it is, he comes, and eventually he takes off the remainder of the chaff from the wheat, and he takes the wheat and he ties it together in a bundle. And where's it placed? In the safety of a barn. In the shelter of some form of house or dwelling. And what does he do to the old remnant of chaff? Well, you know fine rightly what he does. Sets it to the fire. There is that time where, yes, there is the division, but there is then that time of ultimate destruction for the ungodly. You see, with separation, there then comes scorching, the smoke of the furnace of hell. Oh, tonight, what a fateful end. What a fateful end. We've traced right through what happens with this chaff, and what a fateful end it meets. And the question then again is this: which end will you meet? Will it be in the safety of the barn of heaven? Will you be bundled together with all of the righteous? Thank God for that little clause at the end of verse number 6. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He knows the way. He knows the way. But then there comes that time when the chaff will be burned with fire unquenchable. Unquenchable. There will be nothing that can quench the flames and smoke of hell. What a fateful end awaits the chaff. Albert Einstein was traveling in a train, and when the conductor came to collect the tickets, well, Einstein, he tried to find his ticket, but he couldn't find it. Checked his briefcase, checked his pockets in his jacket, checked his pockets in his trousers. Couldn't find the ticket. The conductor came to him and he said, "It's okay, I know who you are. You're Albert Einstein. Don't worry about it. I'm sure you've paid your ticket." Einstein responded like this: "Young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going." I wonder tonight, where are you going? Where are you going? You heading for the safety of the barn of heaven, or are you heading sadly for the fire of the chaff? So here's this great contrast. The ungodly, not so, or not so the ungodly, not so. They're completely different. I trust tonight that you'll leave on the side of the righteous. And come that great day of separation, you'll be found garnered in and bundled in the barn of heaven. May the Lord bless his word to your life this evening. And back over now to Mr. Murray. Thank you.